Glory to God. We want to dismiss our children to Children's Church. Amen. We're going to do something a little different tonight. We're going to do some tag team preaching. And glory to God. I can't get out of my mind for the last several months that we have to put an emphasis on something that's most important to this church, and that is reaching the lost. We can't relegate that to just a few people within the church, but I believe it's everyone's responsibility, and there's great blessings and pleasures involved in that. And so I've asked Brother Bear to speak to us in the beginning, and then I'm going to conclude. Brother Bear has been our outreach Bible study coordinator, and we've met many, many times in teaching teachers how to teach home Bible studies. We've given information, outlines, charts, and to me, there isn't anything that's more important. So many have been saved because of Bible studies, and the fact of the matter is we have men going into prisons and on Sunday afternoons and on Fridays and Wednesdays, and as a result, we're baptizing people every month, you know, 25, 30, and the reason we are is because they're a captive audience, and it's so much easier to go into a place where people are going to be there, you know, but it's not always that easy to find somebody and say, hey, I want to teach you a Bible study, but you'd be surprised how many people really want a Bible study. Glory to God. So please don't turn us off, glory to God, but open the door for something great to happen in your life. Brother Bear, would you come?
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I have got to tell you that Wednesday night, I was convicted by the Lord. As the home Bible study director of this church, it's been a while since we've had a meeting or since you've heard from me on that topic, but like Pastor Schumacher said, we have over the years imparted so much information, so much equipment, so many tools for people to teach. And Brother Schumacher, you'll remember this, it was in St. Louis, and I believe it was Brother Grigsby that talked about teaching the Word of God. He said, and then all of a sudden they were have meetings about teaching, and then meetings about teaching the Word of God, and pretty soon all they were doing was having meetings and nobody was teaching. And it is time for this church, a church that is full of people that are faithful to God. They love God. And we have had more information imparted on us over the years than most people that sit in denominational churches for 20 or 30 years. And as the director of the Bible study ministry, I believe the Lord has asked me in love to speak to his people. Amen. If you'll go to Hebrews, the 10th chapter tonight, I want to move in a fashion here that's efficient, because I'm looking forward to what the Lord wants to say to us through our pastor. We didn't talk at all about what we were going to teach or what was going to be said, what scriptures were going to be used, but I'm confident enough in God that when this whole thing is over, you'll see that God orchestrated it. Amen. Hebrews, the 10th chapter. Starting at verse 22, it says, "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." Verse 23, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." And that's what I'm here to do tonight, to you, to challenge and to provoke you in love to good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. You may be seated. The scripture here reminds me much of Acts 2, 41 and 42, when it says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowships and in breaking of bread and prayer." That word fellowships means teaching. They continued steadfastly. And this scripture here says, "Let us hold fast the profession." That word profession is by acknowledgement of the truth, confessing the allegiance to Christ as one's master and to declare it openly. And really, when God imparted upon us his Spirit and gave us that power to be witnesses, that's what our call is to do. It's the great commission. Amen? Okay, so Brother Schumacher said it this morning, and you might have heard me say, that would preach. Who in here feels, and this is not about we've arrived or we have all the answers, but who in here feels that in the years that you've sat here that you have matured in the Lord? Anybody here mature in the Lord and the teachings and the instruction we've received? Amen. So Brother Schumacher said it this morning. He said, with all these furrows, we should be planting something. Amen. So with all these furrows, with all this maturity and strength in this place, we should be planting something. Furrows are made for planting. Gather yourselves together, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Gather, Webster calls gathering this, to bring or come together into one place or a group, or to harvest or pick, to increase or gain, to accumulate. Now, the Bible refers to the word gather 165 times. And in the New Testament, for Jesus, it's mainly the word number 4,863 in the Greek, meaning it's pronounced sunago. 62 times it means to lead together or to collect or convey. Specifically to entertain hospitably or to do something for Jesus. Gather 15 times, to be gathered. 12 times to gather together. 9 times to come together. 6 times to be gathered. 4 times to be assembled. 3 times to take in. 3 times miscellaneous. I don't know what that means, but has anybody ever said, you know, I don't know what that was all about, but God's doing something. 10 times, it's divided into sections that mean to accompany, to bestow, to lead into, to resort, or to take in. Our God is all about gathering. He's all about gathering people unto the kingdom. After all, that's why you and I are here. Go with me, if you will, to John, the 4th chapter, and I want you to see something in here. When Brother Woodard taught that night, I'm telling you, it convicted me so. And then Brother Schumacher stood here as the Lord just touched him, and he was talking about those letters, and we've heard it many of times in this church, those letters that he wrote to his wife, and how she said, "What have you done with this man?" And then the application he used that just pierced my heart when he said, "I wonder if it's not God saying, what happened to that man who used to be so zealous and so in love with me and so quick to do what I ask him to do?" And I was convicted, and I hardly slept that night. As a matter of fact, I called Brother Schumacher very early the next morning and told him that something has got to move forth as far as winning souls. And I believe that message was very timely. It was the first time he ever did something like that as far as back-to-back DVDs like that. And I believe it was orchestrated by God for us for such a time as this. So John, the 4th chapter, look at verse 32. "But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him out to eat?" Notice their focus on the inside, something personal. Just hang on to that thought. "Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." That jumped out at me. To finish his work. That's what God has caused his people to do, to finish his work. He gave his final breath, the words of that song said tonight, his final breath to bring redemption unto the world. He breathed his final breath, and now we are his mouthpiece. He breathed his breath into us, and it's time for the church to talk up for the Lord Jesus Christ. "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest." Do you see how timely this is? We're already in April. I look at the month of September as harvest. And we will be there in just a little over 4 short months. And look what this scripture says. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. "Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." They're ready. The people are there. "And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit into life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together." You want to get the Lord Jesus Christ excited about something, and one day you will rejoice with him together? Bring treasures to the kingdom. That's God's passion. That's God's passion. "And herein is that true saying, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors." Now, I don't want you to miss this. We focus on these scriptures. How many times have we heard the scriptures about the fields are white unto the harvest, and pray that the Lord of harvest sends laborers? And we know that's all about soul winning, but watch, there's a lesson here for the church of the year 2014 and beyond as the Lord tarries, and I don't want us to miss this. Because there's something going on here that the disciples didn't see. And if you go up to verse 23, Jesus was talking to the woman at the well, Pastor Schumacher, or a Samaritan, or an unchurched person. They weren't even considered being saved. They couldn't be. They were a Samaritan, unchurched. And the Lord had an appointment with her at the well. And he says, "But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." Now the woman's questioning, and she says, "The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Here is someone who is unchurched, unsaved, got revelation of who God is. And the woman, Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples and marveled. They were amazed that he talked with the woman, yet no man saidest, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou to her? They didn't say nothing to him, but let me add this. You can bet they thought it. You remember what Brother Woodard said about the people? We can't. Here I believe the disciples are just as guilty about what is he done. But they had no idea of the conversation that had already taken place, and the Samaritan woman had gotten revelation of who Jesus was. And I want you to see what happened inside her when she got revelation. When they came back and they didn't say nothing, the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. She went and told them about Jesus. Something rose up inside her when she got revelation. She was so excited that she had to tell people. That's how I was, and that's how you were when we first came to this way. We couldn't wait to tell people about who Jesus was. Can I get an amen to that? So what's happened? And then don't miss this. Because now Jesus is talking to the disciples, and right away, look at, he says, the disciples said to Jesus, Master, verse 31, in the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. Focused on, take care of ourselves. We got to eat something. Focused inside. And sometimes we're guilty of the same thing. We focus inside at the things that we have to do here. And all of a sudden, outside, we forget about what's going on out there. There were some lyrics to a song this morning that said, break my heart for what breaks yours. You know what breaks his heart? When people have the same revelation that the Samaritan woman had. Yet we walk by people every day and we don't share it with them. He wants them to know, church. This is not a rebuke. Remember what Brother Woodard said about Peter, that he had to press on him and press on him and press on him and press on him to finally do the right thing. And how many times, and we've heard this as God spoke to this church, in the gifts of the Spirit, tell them, go, tell them, tell them. And all of a sudden it's like owning a house next to the railroad tracks, and we can come to a place where, well, we just hear it all the time and it becomes common day. Verse 39, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that I ever did. The testimony of one woman and what Jesus did in her life caused people to believe on Jesus. And then verse 40, so when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed cause of his own word, and said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. They weren't discrediting her, but they were saying, you know what? Because of what you told us, we believed, and it put us in a position where now all of a sudden we came to a place and we had our own experience with God, and we heard him, and we believe him. And it's the same thing that he wants us to do. Now watch. Let's not miss the lesson. The woman equals the church as we once were before Jesus spoke to us. Five marriages, living with a man that wasn't her husband. Listen, my life was a mess before Jesus got a hold of me. A mess. But he changed me from the inside out, and I couldn't wait to tell people about what he did for me. Brother Miller, I remember you and me going down to the marina with clipboards asking people who Jesus was. We didn't care. Oh, and the excuses we heard, and invite him to church. I'll stand before you tonight and be transparent and say it's been a while before I've done something like since I've done something like that. The woman was the church. But once we saw him, we had to tell other men. See, we wanted to gather. It's something that Jesus puts in us, that just as he wants to gather, so do we. Matthew 10, 32 and 34. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. And ultimately he wants to bring people to a peaceful place in their life, but before that can happen, they have to deal with the sword. And God has equipped us with that. And I remember hearing it said, you can do something with a sword, you can cut people up with it, or if you're really good with it, you can feed them off it. Just like Peter, first he denied, and then once he was filled with the Spirit, he testified. First he denied, then he testified. Luke 22. Verse 31 and 32. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon. Notice he said it twice. Simon, Simon. It means it's important. Verily, verily. Truly, truly. Martha, Martha. You know, in the Old Testament, when Joseph interpreted Pharaoh's dream, and you can read it, it's in there. Joseph says to Pharaoh that these two dreams you dreamed, they're one dream, but they're two because it was established by God. They meant the same thing, but it was two dreams, and it was established by God. And Joseph interpreted it. And here we see the Lord, Simon, Simon. Or when he says, truly, truly, or verily, verily, it's established by God. Listen up. I want you to hear this. This is important. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. Desire to have you, meaning he demanded a trial. But Jesus said, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Just like in John 17 and 20, when Jesus said, I have not prayed for these alone, but for all those that would believe on me through their word. Listen, the Lord has prayed for you and I, and he's already said a prayer for the people that he wants you and I to reach. This is a no-fail situation. All we have to do is go forth. If they reject, it's not us, it's Jesus they're rejecting. But God has people in this city, in a place, and they're just waiting for someone to teach them, someone to tell them. Strengthen thy brethren. That word strengthen means establish or establish. The apostle Peter was called by the Lord to strengthen his brethren or confirm that the truth and the work of the ministry was being conducted according to the word. And he confirming, like in Acts 10, 45 through 48, where it says that as many as were with him that were of the circumcision believed, that the Holy Ghost was poured out on those, on the Gentiles, the unchurched people. And Peter was there to say, these have the same Holy Ghost as we have. And then he said, they have to be baptized. So finally he was being a part of something, but like the evangelist said Wednesday night, God had to do something first, and then Peter kicked in and did what he was supposed to do. But after that, and God has been pushing us and asking us and telling us for a while. You know, in the end times, the Bible says that there's going to be earthquakes and famines and pestilence. And it says these are the beginning of sorrows. And that word sorrows means birth pains. There's something that's ready to come forth. And before that happens, before he comes back, he wants revival. He wants an influx of people to come into the church. And that's where you and I come in. Strengthen thy brethren. That word brethren is children of the same parents. Children of the same mother. Persons united by a common calling, and then after, and that's you and I, strengthen one another, encourage one another. Hey, are you teaching a Bible study? Hey, when's the last time you witnessed? Hey, what lesson are you on? I'm going to start encouraging people. I want to know. I have to know. I have to be a part of the process. Not to be an irritation, to be an encourager. And I want to tell you that God has done things in my life, and I believe with all my heart the reason he's done them is because of my faithfulness. And this isn't a pat on my back, but because of selflessness and spending 12 or 13. I said to my Bible study class on Thursday night, we've spent 3 months together. 3 months of your life. And now you have some decisions to make. And I said, I'm sad because all of a sudden you're just gone and you're not in my living room. But I'm happy for one reason. And that reason is that I have given you information that can allow you to spend eternity in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. And for that, I'm grateful. And I'm just about ready to hear the pastor. Are you? Amen. Hebrews, the second chapter. Verse 17. Wherefore, in all things, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be merciful and faithful. That he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. See, Peter and like us, we're supposed to strengthen our brothers, children of the same parents, children of the same mother. We are the church, we are the bride, persons united by a common calling. That's us, and then to mankind. And this scripture tells us that he was who he was to make reconciliation for sins, for the sins of the people. And that's why we're here. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted, mankind. And through the Lord Jesus Christ, not only has he entered into our lives and given us through him the ability to live a life and do things that are pleasing to him and for him, so too does he want to do that with so many others that are not yet here. Here's the goal. The goal is in the near future to establish 7 teaching points. 7 teaching points. My house is going to be one of them. I've already talked to a few people in here that have agreed to allow for their house to be a teaching point. This is just a start. This doesn't mean that we're not all involved, but to start with, then it's our jobs, our responsibilities to help find people to send to those teaching points and be a part of making a dessert or buying. My wife can make a dessert, and she can pick out a beauty in the store too. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowships, that's teaching, sharing the truth, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. That sounds like a Bible study to me, Pastor Schumacher. Would you come?
Glory to God. Thank you, Brother Bear. I have found a scripture. You know, there haven't been a whole lot of amens in response to this because it requires something of us. Most preaching doesn't require anything from you. I found a scripture in the Bible where if you get holy oil like this and pour it on your driveway, the next morning a Mercedes-Benz will be there. See the response we're getting? We like the bless me messages. Bless me good. And I've been a good boy. So what are you going to give me? But God's looking for something more from us. And there's a greater blessing. I was here at the altar before service, and Sister Gruling came in. And, of course, she's not a very excitable person. But she did get excited and ran over and showed me this piece of paper. She bought a new house. She's moving into it. And she had a diagram of all of her neighbors and what their names were. And she said, I'm going to get them. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. Everybody. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I had people who came to me this morning and even tonight and said, that message this morning was just for me. And then somebody said, no, it was just for me. Now, I lament about this. I thought for sure I was going to teach something else this morning. My wife can confirm that. And then God changed my mind. And I knew it was God, because the gifts of the Spirit are the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom have to operate from this pulpit. Now, if God sends us out, each and every one of us are preachers, and I believe that he gives us the gift of knowledge and the gift of wisdom, you see. And if we're really asking God, speak to me about these people that I'm going to come into contact with, God will give us a word of knowledge and a word of wisdom and say, you know, I'm going to be praying for your son. I know you've been sick, but I know a God who can take care of it. And you know what'll happen? They'll go into the city and say, I met a man who told me everything about me. And you got to come to this church because there's something going on there. Hallelujah. You want to get excited about teaching Bible studies? Talk to a new convert for a little while. See how excited they are. Talk to the whites for a little while. How excited they are. Glory to God. There isn't anything more exciting in my life, and you've heard it for the last almost 26 years. There isn't anything I think is more exciting than teaching somebody the Word of God and seeing their face light up. This last year when I saw David Simpson, our project manager, filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name and putting a death lock on me, saying, you know, this has been an intervention. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I fired him, and he's hugging me, saying, thank you, thank you, thank you. Here's the problem is we don't want to have any conflict. We just want to shake people's hands and say, I know you believe different, but, you know, it's going to take some conflict. There was some conflict in my life. Hallelujah. Saints, with all respect to everything that you do and all of your responsibilities and all of your obligations of life, it still comes down to this world is lost. And who else is going to go to them except somebody who has truth? Hallelujah. Would you, I'm not going to take a lot of time, but would you turn to 2 Timothy? 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter. And verse number 1 says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. He's saying, you know what? That's to each and every one of us. And it says that there's going to be reproof and there's going to be rebuke and exhort. And there has to be doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itchy ears, or to tickle the ear with fantasy, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Those who have worked in the spirit as an evangelist, Brother Arcovio, Brother Bustard, Morton Bustard, they have dedicated their lives to listening to the voice of God so they could minister to people within the churches. And God, because they have asked to be sensitive, will actually hear God about situations within the congregation that they need to address, and instantly the level of faith of people just rise to receive what they want. And I believe that God wants to do that even more so when it comes to people that are around us that are lost. Would you turn to Colossians, the 1st chapter, and verse 27. It says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this ministry among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach. Look at this. Warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. So what God is saying is, you know, we need to warn people. I've said this before, but I've been driving down the road and some guy is blinking his lights at me because he already knows that there's a police officer down the road. And he's a complete stranger and he has sympathy for me and my speedy car. Hallelujah. I mean, to have that kind of approach when he doesn't know me and it's all about a ticket, how much more should we warn other people knowing you're going down the wrong road? Hallelujah. It's so easy for us to get confused about our purpose in life. Our reason for living is to evangelize this lost world. That's the whole function of this church. The bottom line, according to Scripture, it's not a theory of the pastor, but according to Jesus, the gospel is a death, burial, and resurrection, and we need to give people information, and that's all we have, information to give to people, and then let them respond. We do not save people. God saves them, but we have to give them the information, and we'll be shocked at how many people respond to the invitations. Hallelujah. If there was ever a time to get serious about the business of the church, it's now. The road to the future is always under construction. It really is. There will never be a good time to be a soul winner. Never. Something will always get in the way, but consider the consequences for those who aren't in the church. And that should motivate us. I don't know about you, but I've got a lot of loved ones that I need to see in the church. My sister was here this morning, and, you know, I have been talking to her for many, many, many years. And she's been baptized, but you know what? She's still at the edge of the church. And I'll tell you, I tell her all the time, where are you? What are you doing? You know, why? Because I want to see her in eternity in a wonderful place. And for me not to say something. 2 Thessalonians, please. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse number 8. Starting in verse number 7, it says, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that," what? "Know not God, and they that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." What God is saying is there are going to be two kinds of people who are going to be punished. I'm not saying this. It's God who's saying this. Those who know not God and those who obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I got to tell some more people about God. I've got an escape for you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Someone's got to warn them. Someone's got to tell them you're in danger. You need to get to Jesus as soon as you can. We apostolic believers can miss the purpose of what we're supposed to do by a million miles. We can get so caught up in our own self-service that we can miss our responsibility of reaching the lost in a dying world. Loved ones and friends and relatives and co-workers, hallelujah, have never heard the message like I never heard the message, being a churchgoer all those years until I walked into a Pentecostal church. I didn't realize it was a death, burial, and resurrection. It was repentance, water, baptism in Jesus' name for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. People just don't hear. We think it's just common knowledge. How can the whole world know about Elvis Presley and not ever hear the name Jesus? But it's still true, folks. Hallelujah. We can't be in revival if we are asleep to evangelizing the lost. Now, I know you want a feel-good message. And I know you brought your flesh with you tonight. And I know this is somewhat irritating because it calls for response or doing something. But I'll tell you what, you will find that God will bless you more doing something like this than anything else you possibly can. We have a tendency to substitute what our responsibility is for service work within the church. Give me a position. Glory to God. You know what? I would rather clean the toilets and go talk to somebody about Jesus, because we're afraid of the rejection. But you know what? He was rejected of all men. Hallelujah. I would rather we felt conviction and some sinner quit the sin business
than have every service a comfortable service where we don't have to do anything, just show up and we'll just play church. Here's a fact that should devastate us. Over 80% of the United Pentecostal Church people have never given the gospel to one living soul. What's wrong with that? Are we on birth control? Is there something wrong with us? Are we ashamed of our God? Are we afraid of being rejected? You know, when I got to the place where it didn't matter if people responded to my preaching or not, that's when God gave me authority. And when you get to the place where you don't mind whether or not people say, that's fine for you, just don't talk to me about that, that's okay. If you're a salesman, some of you people are salesmen in here, you recognize from the very beginning, you're going to be rejected 90% of the time, but there is that one person that wants what you got. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And if God will speak to me about somebody that I run into and I'm moving in the spirit and God gives me information concerning them, I'll tell you what, they're going to say, God is with that individual. There's something going on there. Hallelujah. The hottest issue of the book of Acts was not ministries. It wasn't a feel-good message, but it was how were we going to reach the lost? How were we going to get to them? Amen. Glory to God. How can it be that this whole world has heard about so many other things and yet they haven't heard about the message of salvation? Do we still believe that Jesus saves to the uttermost and to the guttermost, to anybody? You know? Hallelujah. We cannot be satisfied. Preservation of salvation is easy when we're doing what God demands. And that's winning souls. In all of the years that I have been in the church, I've never seen anybody backsliding while they've been witnessing or teaching a Bible study. Never once. I've never seen anyone more spiritually charged than when they were engaged in witnessing to somebody. Glory to God. I've had people come to me at the beginning of service, and I was getting a haircut, and there was this guy in there, and they wanted to know about God. And they, you know, it's a revival. It's revival. Glory to God. More than getting a check in the mail, more than anything else, there's something exciting about somebody who you've just given life information to. Hallelujah. Proverbs 11 and 30 says, "For the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise." And I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt, the thing that keeps us alive is new converts, keeps us alive is people who will come into the church and say, what an awesome God we have. Can I be baptized in your name? Or filled with the Holy Ghost and tears streaming down their eyes. Hallelujah. Amen. We have to get involved. Two more scriptures. 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter. First Timothy 4, verse number 16. It says, "Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save yourself and them that hear us." Hear thee. So, in other words, witnessing does two things. It keeps us saved, and it saves those that we're witnessing to. Glory to God. You know, we can die on a pew. James, the 5th chapter, verse number 20, says, "Let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins." How much greater could that be? Amen. Wow. Anybody here want to be a hero? Glory to God. They give medals to heroes, firemen who run into a burning building and save somebody at the risk of their own life. Policemen that run into a horrible situation and take control of it and people applaud and give them medals, and they get their name in the paper, maybe even a film strip of some nature. But what about us that save someone for eternity? Well, we don't get a medal, we get a crown full of jewels. Glory to God. Some reward 10 and some 30 and some 100. There's going to be rewards for soul winners, folks. Don't be a part of the 80% who has never given this life-saving doctrine to somebody that is around them. Glory to God. Now, this would be good preaching if somebody responded. And, the greatest fear is that messages are received and then they're packed away someplace and never responded to, or people don't change their lives. Somehow, we have to respond to it. Somehow, we have to be motivated to do more than what we're doing. And I'm sorry if this hurts your feelings or it's not what you would like to hear on a Sunday night, but I'm telling you from the bottom of my heart, and I know Brother Bear feels exactly the same way, and Brother Miller and Brother Shoddy and all of the people who are teaching Bible studies, that you know what? It is our life, and it really makes a difference. It really makes a difference. I can tell you that there isn't anything on the top of the list of our Lord and Savior than reaching out to the lost. In the 8th chapter of the book of Acts, he took a man by the name of Philip out of revival, out of Jerusalem. They were having a great time. They were having a conference, and there were special speakers, and they all talked about the oneness of God and the Holy Ghost and probably ways of reaching the lost. And God said, "Hey, Philip! Out of the revival, come on. I know you're having a good time having church, but come on out of the revival, because there's a guy sitting out in the desert in a chariot, and he has a longing for truth. He's reading my word, and he doesn't understand it." And so he left, and he sat with an Ethiopian eunuch, a guy who had authority, a guy who had money. And he said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he said, "How can I except some man guide me?" And he opened his mouth and talked to him about Jesus. And it was just a little while down the road. He said, "There's water. What hindereth me to be baptized?" And so they stopped. And he was baptized in Jesus' name. And he went on rejoicing. You know why? God filled him with the Holy Ghost. But somebody had to leave the confines of a revival. Somebody had to say, "You know what? This pew just isn't as uncomfortable. I want to get out and I want to do something." Hallelujah. Amen. I don't know. Almost 26 years of pastoring, there isn't anything that I want more than this church to grow and for you to grow with it. And yet I can't. Listen, if you don't get out there, I'm cutting off all your salaries. Leverage. I'm telling you, God wants us to do this. God wants us to do this. How many are teaching a home Bible study right now? Stand up. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You come up to the front. Come on. I want everybody that's teaching to come up to the front. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. This Thursday, I'm teaching the last lesson in Bible study. We've been getting together for over 3 months now, and we've had some great desserts. But I can't tell you how many times in the middle of the Bible study I've broken down and had a struggle to continue. Why? Because God is so pleased when we're teaching the Word of God to somebody. Hallelujah. How many have ever taught a Bible study? Stand up. Wow. All right, I want everybody that's taught a Bible study to come up here. Come on. Hallelujah. I know this is different. Look at the army of people who are armed with the Word of God. Glory to God. I'll tell you what, this makes the enemy angry that there are so many people who are qualified to teach the Word of God here. How many would like to be able to teach a home Bible study? Stand up. Glory to God. Now you come up here. This is the best altar call I've ever had in my life. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. Jesus, you're inspiring me. Now, how many know somebody that needs a Bible study? Glory to God. Now, will you stand up? Hallelujah. Now, you come up to the front. Hallelujah. Now, not everybody can teach. I shouldn't say that. It's not true. I believe that every one of us can teach. Every one of us can approach somebody with the Word of God, with the Word of truth. But you know, if that isn't some place that you're comfortable with, you know what? You can host a Bible study. You know what I'm trying to do? I'm just trying to make us awake and aware. Just turn this way for a second so I can see your wonderful faces. Just make us aware of the need and the responsibility that each and every one of us have to reach out to the lost. Now, folks, if every one of us somehow this week reached out to one person and said, you know, would you consider a Bible study? We have 7 points, yes. Some 7 places that we could take them. You could host them. You could come to me or Brother Bear and say, you know what? I know of somebody that wants a Bible study. Would you get a teacher to teach it in my home? I'll host it, whatever it takes. Glory to God. You will put an enormous smile on the face of our God. Because that's what he wants more than anything else, folks. Yeah. Hallelujah. And in the process, I will guarantee you, in the process, God is going to bless you and bless you and give you something that perhaps you have been longing for all your life. And now God is saying, because you've done what I want you to do, I'm going to give you something that you haven't even asked for, but I've known the desires of your heart. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We are the church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against us, and there are people that are out there. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Just one more scripture I want to read to you. Glory to God. It says in 2 Timothy, the 2nd chapter, it says, verse 24, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. And I believe that we need to approach everyone in that kind of meekness, because we know that they oppose themselves just like I opposed myself. I thank God on a regular basis Thank you, God, that I had an open mind, that I didn't just shut this thing off and say, those goofballs, I don't want anything to do with them. But when I recognized they got something that I've always wanted, yeah. Hallelujah, glory to God. Amen. We want our musicians to come, but I want to pray right now. I want to pray an anointing upon each and every one of you, that God would not only anoint you and give you information concerning those that are around you, but that God would give you a burden and perhaps even wake you up in the middle of the night with the face of somebody that he's sending you to. It happened in the Bible. It happened to Paul. He saw someone say, come, come. Hallelujah. And there are others that are out there. Please don't get comfortable by having good church and we're having great church. But don't get to the place where you come just to have good church and refreshing and then leave and come back later for another refreshing. Hallelujah. God, Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, we ask your anointing and touch and blessing and give us a burden for the things that you love. Allow us to see people the way you see people, God. Give us that burden, Lord, that causes us to walk up to somebody and say, Jesus loves you. There's something more for you. I want to help you with your troubles, but we got a God who can take care of all of your needs. Would you like more information, oh God? Each and every one of us have come this route, and God, you created us to produce after our own kind. Lord, you've given us information until we have more information than we have time to give people. But God, open a door for us. Prepare a heart for us, God, that through it, somehow, Lord, they would accept the invitation and walk through the doors and feel your Shekinah glory. Your presence in this place, God. Let them be paralyzed by your presence and spirit. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen, amen. Will you do it? Will you do it? Will you make a commitment? Will you? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Would you ask them? We've done this in the past where we put a basket here and everybody wrote out a name of somebody they know needed to be saved and they put the name in the basket. And then we had somebody else pick up a name out of the basket and pray and fast for that individual that somehow they could get saved. You know, unless we single out somebody. In a few weeks, we're going to have a Friends Sunday, and God's already told me who I'm supposed to invite. Someone's going to be so impressed that you have been asked to bring a friend, and you ask them to be your friend to come. It works, folks. It really does. But listen, don't have shotgun prayers. And say, God, save somebody at work. You know what you ought to do? You ought to find somebody that God leads you to and say, God, that person. What would happen if each of us would win somebody? Yes. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I want to see things happen. You know, we're having such explosive services. Can you imagine we have 50 visitors in this place? Glory to God, what God would do. Hallelujah. Amen. Would you pray?